These words are a whole lot easier to see tonight. Even my handwriting's easier to see. I told Luke this afternoon, I said, I guess I just didn't realize what was happening to my eyes. My brother told me, I was making fun of him not long ago. I was making fun of Kevin not long ago because he's wearing glasses. And he said, it's okay, you laugh it up, brother. He said, you're going to get close to 45 and them peepers of yours is going to quit working. I said, you're crazy, man. Well, I'm about 6 months shy of 45. Here we are. This way, I put these things on, I can't see y'all out there. I can see the words good, but I can't see y'all. That might be a blessing. I might keep them on the whole time. I'm just cutting up. Hey, on a serious note, I do need to address something that I did just a few moments ago. The kids were up here doing a wonderful job singing, and I said, y'all better sing loudly and forcefully. Guys, I apologize to you for that. That was out of place, and there wasn't no sense in that. Y'all were doing a great job. I apologize to you, and I hope that you'll forgive me for that and not hold it against me. I love you, and I appreciate you worshiping the Lord. I needed to do that so I could be right with the Lord before I moved on in the service. Amen. All right, John chapter 16, and we looked at verses 1. No, we did not, neither did we. We looked at verse 1 from with John 15. So John 16, and we're going to start reading in verse number 2. The Bible said, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I'm going to stop reading right there. I'll tell you what, we'll throw verse number 12 in there. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we come to you, thanking you and praising you for all that you have done. Thank you for our church. Thank you for what you have given to us. Thank you for Children's Church that's happening next door. Use that for your honor and for your glory. I pray, God, if there be someone on our campus tonight that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, that before they leave here, Lord, they know you as Lord and Savior of their life. God, would you move, have your will and your way. Forgive me, Father, my many sins, my many shortcomings where I failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you as I preach to your people tonight. Give me the right words to say and the right spirit to say it in. In Jesus' holy name I pray and ask these things. Amen. In chapter number 15, we looked at how that Christ was very much hated because of who he was and what he was. And the Pharisees are the ones that did not hate, that did not like him. They hated him. And so verse that carried over into chapter number 16, where he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And so he's warning them about being offended by the world, acting like the world. Christians should not be surprised when the world goes crazy. Amen? We shouldn't be surprised to see the world act like the world and act foolish like the world does. That's what they do. That's who they are. And their hope is the same hope that you and I have, That's the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? His power to save. It's our job to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world, not to ridicule them when they act how that they're going to act. And so those are the things that the offense was talked about. And the Lord knew that that their offense would come because the Pharisees would treat the disciples as worse as they treated Christ. We know some of the martyrs and the things that happened, and I don't have time to go back over all of that in chapter number 15, but in verse number 2 of chapter 16, the Lord is telling them, and keep in mind, He is on His way to Gethsemane. So as they have left the upper room in chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is walking to Gethsemane where He will pray, John chapter number 17. We often call our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We often call that the Lord's Prayer. That actually is not the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's example of how we should pray. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, go ahead of me and read John chapter number 17. We'll be looking at that in the coming weeks, but that's where the Lord is going to. He's heading there to pray at Gethsemane, where soon He will be arrested and then taken and tried, and then He will eventually make it to Calvary, where He will pay our sin debt there on the cross. But that is the looming gloom, if I could say that, as they're walking from the upper room to Gethsemane. This is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is understanding fully the price that He is about to pay. And so He looks at them and He tells them, I've told you these things in verse 15, or chapter 15, that you would not be offended. And now in verse number 2, He says, they are going to put you out of the synagogue. Now, let me preach on that for just a moment. The reason that that is so important to these disciples here is because previously they had been teaching in the synagogues. Y'all remember that? Anytime there was a new founding city or a new place, or even where 10 or more Jews, Israelites, were gathered together, they would establish a synagogue in that area. They would build a church. Now, could you imagine that? That means that every Mexican restaurant in these three counties would have a church every Sunday afternoon. Amen? Because you're going to have at least 10 Baptists in one Mexican restaurant. Amen? And a lot of buffets and all that. But anytime they would get to one place, they would build a church there. They would build a synagogue. And that was the center of the community. And so for them to be thrown out of the synagogue meant that they would be excommunicated from their community and the people that they knew and that they loved. And we know, y'all remember the story just a few chapters ago where Jesus had healed the man who had been lame, and He had gave the one man sight. And the Pharisees asked Him, said, who are you? Was it Jesus that healed you? And He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, but now I see. And so those Pharisees went to that man's parents and asked his parents, said, is this your son? They said, he is our son, but we don't know what happened to him. And the reason they said that was because they were fearful of the Jews and what they would do to them. They would be excommunicated, baby, thrown out. And so the Lord says, don't be surprised. Here's what's coming. When you worship me, when you serve me, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue, boys. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. That didn't take long to happen. And we learned that from the Apostle Paul, who bragged on killing these Jews that had worshiped Christ, the people that called themselves Christians and people that served the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who is responsible for writing much of the New Testament, or being the penman for much of the New Testament, is proclaiming boldly that he killed people that taught Jesus. And so the time that Jesus spoke of didn't take long to get there. They thought they were doing God's service by killing those people. Jesus is prophesying to them as he has this gloom hanging over his head about what's coming for him. Verse 3 says, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known, I got them on, amen. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. These people that were the religious elites of that day, they had no idea who God was. And a matter of fact, they didn't care to know who God was. They cared more about their tradition than they did about serving the one true God. They cared more about protecting their synagogue than they did about seeing people be born again. They cared more about protecting their way of life and the things that they knew than they did about seeing people be right with the Lord and being healed. I think about in John chapter number 5 where that man was there at the pool of Bethesda and he had been laying there for 32 years. And day after day, see, the pool of Bethesda was not far from one of the gates where they could enter into the temple and to worship the Lord there in Jerusalem. And day after day, those Pharisees would walk by that man, and moment after moment, hour after hour, they watched him lay there, and none of them helped him. None of them would even give to him. None of them would even help him get to the pool so that he could get some healing. And here comes Jesus, who looks at him and says, "How long you been here?" "I've been here 32 years. He said, "I'll tell you what, rise up, take up your bed and walk." And the man got up and walked, praise God. And here's what happened. Them old stinking Pharisees, they got to whining and crying. "What are you doing healing this man on the Sabbath day? What are you doing this good for this man? Why are you doing that?" Sounds a lot like some folks I've dealt with before, amen. Why is this happening? Why is the good thing happening? Because men care more about protecting their traditions than they do about serving a God that is real tonight. Amen. "These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you," verse number 4, "but these things have I told you, when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." So Jesus tells them the result of the hatred in that happened in chapter number, or he told them about in chapter number 15. He's telling them about this in chapter 16. And then in verse number 4 here, the Lord is telling them now, because he's not always going to be with them. He's not always going to be there. "I don't know how long I'm going to be able to handle these things, honey. They're good for reading, but my goodness, looking back out at y'all is rough. But these things," time out. I sure am glad when I said, "honey," she is the only woman that looked up at me. Amen. She knew who I was talking to. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember what I told you them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning," I said not unto you at the beginning because I was not with you. He's telling them this because he's not going to always be with them. He's not going to always be there. Jesus had stood between them and the foes that they had in their life. Jesus had been the determining factor between them and them getting their feelings hurt. Jesus had been the... Did y'all catch that? Jesus had been the difference between them getting upset and them quitting when they needed to go on. And all this time, Jesus had been with them. And now as Jesus is leaving, he says, "Hey guys, I need to let you know something. There's coming a day when I'm not going to be here, and you better be ready because the protection will be gone for a little while." Jesus had bore the brunt of the hatred that they had seen. And so he tells them this, "I'm telling you to remember that I'm the one that told you, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you." So right when they first got out of the rip, we go back and we can look at where all the disciples were called and where the Lord told them, "Hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." We can go back and we can pinpoint those places in Scripture. But when he told them to come and to follow him, I'm glad that Jesus didn't look at them and say, "Hey guys, the foxes of the air, or the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have hair, have a good night, a nest. The birds got hair, don't they? I done gave birds hair tonight, Michaela. That's a good name. It puts a whole new meaning to a bald eagle, don't it? Thank you. I need it. The Lord is telling them he didn't start out with the tough stuff. We see somebody get born again. They get saved. You and I, we don't just immediately take them out in the woods and drop them off. There's not a mama in here that would take a newborn baby out in the woods and leave it there and say, well, I hope you make it. No, they got to grow spiritually. Amen. They got to grow physically. And so Jesus knew that these disciples, even though he called them, even though they would be with him, that they had to grow. They wasn't just, I don't know what this mentality is that thinks that we see somebody get saved and then boom, they become the greatest saint that ever walked the face of the earth and they know everything about serving God. Did you know you might have to go through some hurt and some trials to learn about how good God is? You might have to go through some pretty difficult times, but when you get saved, you don't think about that. You high as a kite, man. You're having a great day. Everything's wonderful. The trees are greener. The sky's bluer. The rain is softer. Wonderful. Amen. Everything's great. And then reality sets in. And things begin to change in your life and in your home, and you have to go through some things. And the Lord is saying, I've been here with you all this time for these 3 years. Now look, they watched the miracles. They watched him feed 5,000. They or 15,000. How many ever thousands there were there? There were 5,000 men, Bible says, besides women and children. Amen. They watched them give a man, or they watched Jesus give a man his sight. They watched Jesus restore a man his sight. Two different stories, amen. They watched Jesus bring a man two times at least that we know back from the dead, amen, and one little girl. Glory to God. They watched those things happen. And he said, hey, I was with you and all that, but I'm about to not be here. Get ready, guys. I'm not going to be here. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he didn't tell them about the giants. He didn't tell them about the walled cities. He didn't even tell them about the ferocious battles that they would have to face. But he did lead them through the Red Sea. He did feed them daily. He did solidify their memory of his goodness before they met those giants along the way. And the reason was is because he knew that he would not always be there. The disciples, they were more concerned with themselves than they were with Jesus. That's a shocker, huh? But now I go my way to him that sent me, verse number 5, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Whither goest thou? They did not care enough about the Savior to ask him what his leaving meant to him. In the very next chapter, very next verse, we're going to read, I might as well go ahead and read it. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. A lot of times the truth of the Word of God bring sorrow to our heart, not because we are concerned with the Savior, but because we are concerned with ourselves. We're more concerned about what it's going to do to us, how it's going to impact us. I have a friend that works at a place, and he works where he manages people who are entry level, and they don't stay there long. They either, if they make it past a little while, they advance and they go a little further. And if they do come in, sometimes they leave. And then he's got a few that they're there. And I've heard him. I've watched him walk up to them and say, well, they'll say, man, there's a job come open. I think I might try this inside this ordination. I've heard him walk up to them and say, you don't really want to do that. You don't want to try for that, do you? I mean, why would you give a shot to that? I mean, you got everything you need right here with me, right? You got everything that you could possibly want, and why would you want to advance? Why would you want to go for? He's more concerned. This leader is more concerned with how advancement would affect him than how it would affect them. Listen, if you're a leader and you can't handle your people going on further than you, you're not a leader. That's free. We have this mentality that let somebody stay right where they're at. They don't need to advance. They don't need to grow. There's Christians that do that. There are ministries that get upset with other ministries. There are people that see others growing in Christ and they don't like it. You let somebody get some liberty in Christ where God gives them liberty to go do something that He didn't give somebody else liberty to do, and you watch them begin to cry. See, the disciples, y'all right? The disciples had it this way. Y'all remember when old John and Peter, when they were back there, or when they were there in the room, I can't even remember exactly where it was, and I believe it was Peter looked over at John and said, "Well, what about this guy? What's he going to do?" And the Lord looked at him and said, "If he tarries till I come again, what is that unto thee?" Hey, it existed back then. It's still here alive and well. But these disciples, they had a natural, just not a spiritual response to what the Lord said. And the great thing about our God is that He went on caring for them, even though every step carried Him closer to Calvary and His physical demise. Verse number 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." The Lord says here in verse number 7, "Okay, guys, I got to go. But I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be with you all the time." Jesus was with him. He was with them all the time, and for that little bit of time between when Jesus left the world and the Holy Spirit come into the world, however long that was, I'm not 100% sure. You might can figure it out. I don't know. Maybe you get that spiritual blessing. I won't. That'll be okay. But here Jesus tells them, if I don't go, then the one you really need is not going to come. They didn't need the Holy Spirit while they had God in the flesh in front of them. There was no need for the Holy Spirit to be there with Jesus standing in front of them. And so, Jesus tells them the truth. "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Comforter." Notice that the word Comforter is capitalized, and that lets us know that it is deity in the Word of God. And He said, "The Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you." The Holy Spirit is not just a force. He's not just a thing. It is a Him, a person. The Holy Spirit, He will come to you. Verse 8 says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Those are some pretty harsh things, ain't they? But I'm glad that the Lord Jesus went on ahead and explained to them what that meant in verses 9, 10, and 11. He said that He's going to reprove you of sin because they believe not on Me. There is not a more boastful sin than to reject Christ and who He is. This is the reason that the Holy Spirit comes to reprove the world of sin. It's not just to reprove us of our sin that we commit, but it is to reprove the whole world of the sin of ignoring Jesus as Savior of the world. One commentator that I read after said this, that this is, and there's a lot of debate that circles around this about the un. unpardonable or unforgivable sin, and they say different things, and they say, speaking in the Lord turned them over to a reprobate. And listen, the sin that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, will not forgive is the one that you will not ask repentance for. If you believe that He will not save you, you're right. He's a perfect gentleman, and He's not going to come sit in your lap. He has given you the gospel, and if you will believe the gospel message, see, it is the arrogancy of human beings that thinks that God ought to send a lightning strike to get your stinking attention. I don't know what it is about humans that think that we can demand of God that He do more than He has already done. You want me to believe, you better do something extraordinary. Well, He did. He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for your sins. I don't know of any greater or more extraordinary thing that any God could do other than what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. This sin that the world says is unpardonable is the one that men will not repent of. It is rejecting Christ. It is rejecting His Holy Spirit. It is day after day turning away. See, people say, well, I don't know if there is a witness listening, then that calls Psalm 19 a lie. Amen? Day after day, the earth uttereth His voice. From the rising of the sun to going down the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The firmament showeth His handiwork. We can look around the world and see God move. Does that release us from witnessing? Absolutely not. Does it release us from telling people the gospel? Absolutely not. But I will tell you this, there's no honest human being that can look up in the sky during the morning and say that we just come out of some crazy boom or some organism crawled up out of a lake or out of a river or out of some water somewhere, and just over time we developed into what we are today. Friend of mine, that's hogwash. And I'll tell you, you were created in the image of God, and God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. And the Holy Spirit of God has come to reprove the world of that sin, the sin of unbelief, the sin of rejecting Christ as Lord and Savior. And then He said He came to reprove the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. There might have been some things that them disciples done solely and squarely because Jesus was with them. But there's coming a time where they would think that wasn't nobody watching. Your reputation is what people know about you. Your character is who you are when nobody's watching you. And if you are one way when nobody's watching and another way when you're around a bunch of people, you're playing a part. And the Lord said, I'm going to reprove the world of sin, but I'm also going to send some strong medicine down to the Christians, and I'm going to reprove them of righteousness because I ain't always going to be here. Jesus would no longer be there to keep them straight, if you will. Jesus would no longer be there to remind them. Now, you and I guess we've had a blessing in that we've only known the Holy Spirit. I kind of wonder how that Peter must have felt there. In a little while, we'll look at that when we get to the Garden of Gethsemane. When old Malchus comes and he draws his sword and he cuts off, Peter cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And man, here's Peter thinking, I'm doing a great thing. I'm doing something that nobody else did. No other disciple. There's 12 of them, right? No other disciple decided that they would defend Jesus in that moment except for old zealous Peter. And instead of Jesus saying, hey, good move, man. Appreciate you getting that in for me. Jesus healed that man. Jesus took, I can imagine Peter standing there going, what in the world did he just do? We find old Peter again after he's denied Christ three times. And he's naked. I don't know if you know this, but nakedness denotes shame. He's naked. Well, he is out on a fishing boat. He still had no business being naked. When was the last time you went and did naked fishing? Lord, I hope never. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. I might learn things about my church members I don't want to know. Oh, Peter, he's naked. He has to gird himself. And then he goes and he realizes that Christ is waiting on him on the shore and got a fish already there ready for him, already ready to feed him. That's how our Savior works. Even though we deny Him, even though we are against Him, even though we are at enmity with Him, even though we sin against Him, the Holy Spirit of God reproves us for our righteousness so that His righteousness will be made known. Because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before the Lord. And then he said of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I'm going to give you this just as short and as sweet as I possibly can. The devil will be dealt with by God. And every sinner that rejects Christ will be dealt with the devil. And this judgment will take place by God. And it is already taking place by the Holy Spirit of God. He's warning of this coming judgment. This is why we preach. This is why we care about souls. Is because we believe that there is a judgment coming to the prince of this world who's going to drag a whole lot of people with him who have rejected Christ. That ought to be sobering to the Christian. Charles Spurgeon is credited with saying, if we let our friends go to hell, at least let them leap over our crying bodies as they get there. What if we started standing in the way of sinners and saying, I'm not going to let you die and go to hell. I'm not going to let you spend eternity away from Christ. I'm going to tell you about this Savior. And if you'll hear me and listen to me, you have no idea what kind of change that your testimony can bring. Or just inviting. You don't want to tell them the gospel? Get them to church. We'll make sure they get the message. The Holy Ghost of God has been sent to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then verse number 12 said, and I have yet many more things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Do you see this progression of spiritual growth that is happening? The Lord's telling them about the hatred in chapter number 15. Chapter number 16, He tells them about the result of that hatred and how it was going to impact them. He's carrying His load of His own sorrow, and they were sorrowful because of what they were going to have to go through instead of caring about the Lord. He tells them about the sin that's there, the righteousness, and the judgment that would come. And then He goes on to say, and I got a whole lot more where that came from that I can tell you about. I'm glad that He's sent. Good night, I'll get that in a minute. The Spirit of Truth. I got to read this. I got to read down through verse number 16, and then I'll be done. Howbeit, when the Spirit of Truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. The Lord's telling them where he's going. He's prophesying where he's going. He's giving it to them straight. He's telling them the truth. Thank God for these words of warning that the Lord gave to the disciples there on their way to Gethsemane. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I thank you for allowing me to preach tonight. I thank you for giving me the words to say. I pray, God, that I would be obedient to your word. I pray, Lord, that I would seek you and seek your face. I pray, Lord, that our people would seek you and that we would seek revival. God, I pray that we would be reproved of our sin, of our righteousness, Lord, and of the judgment to come if we're not right with you. Lord, would you help us? Would you give us strength and peace? God, would you work mightily? Use tonight for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name.